Hey, I'm Simone.
And I'm Jess. We're two long-distance best friends who are states away.
But our bond has never been closer. From spirituality to spirited conversations,
we're here to share them with you.
So welcome to Fly Talks.
Come fly with us for a bit. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fly Talks.
Hey, y'all. Hello.
We missed you guys.
We missed you guys so much. I'm so glad that you're here with us for episode four.
I can't believe it. Wow. I can't believe it.
I was just telling Jess, we're not new to this. We're true to this at this point. We're intermediate podcasting girlies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just excited to be on this journey and continuing on. So
we are. Let's get into it. Okay, so our conversation today, as always, reflects on self-discovery. Simone and I had a conversation just about the way her platform is changing and the way that her perception of herself is also evolving as we move forward. We have talked in our episode about fear of flying, about Simone changing locations. So we know that our girl is from LA, transitioned to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we had spoken about the fact that when you had went, it had felt so much at home.
Mm-hmm.
I personally know that for you, that transition also felt homish to you, because in LA, it was a location where you felt very othered, very ostracized at times. And it's from a bunch of different angles. So I wanted you... Oh, baby.
I just got triggered a little bit. I'm like, ooh,
bad. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's been so refreshing to see you feel comfortable within yourself.
Yeah.
In terms of your body, in terms of your energy, just in terms of feeling connected to who you are. Yeah. And not always having to worry about where you fit in or your place in the state that you're in.
Yeah.
So I just really wanted to know how you feel like your perception of self has changed, or how do you feel like when moving, your outlook changed?
Yeah, I think my outlook changed because, similar to what you said, well, even more specifically what you said, not only did I feel like home here in Atlanta, but I also felt like attractive here.
Mm.
And a big part of what made me feel othered in LA was because I don't fit the beauty standard. Like, I'm a very black girl. I'm a chocolate girl.
Period.
I am plus sized. I'm like loud and exuberant. I'm artsy and quirky. And granted, there are some like quirky alt parts of LA, but overall, I don't fit the mold of what is considered attractive in Los Angeles. And so dating there really wasn't possible. Like, well, I don't want to say not possible, but it just wasn't as frequent as it would be for people who fit the beauty standard more. Mm-hmm. And I would often just feel like I felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb in a lot of ways, just because I felt so different. And so being here, considering it is the South, and granted, there are still some like beauty standards that are still upheld here because Atlanta is a big city. I still don't feel like, I don't feel different or off. Like, I remember one of the first times I got like a bikini sugaring here, which is like waxing, but with sugar.
Period.
By the way, y'all need to get, if y'all are still getting waxed, I think y'all need to just switch on over to sugaring. It's so much better for you.
That's a message for me.
So, like, real quick, real tip, quick tip. It naturally exfoliates you. Like, it exfoliates your skin while removing the hair, and your skin is left so soft and supple, baby. It be so soft.
Tell us, sister. Can somebody sponsor us?
I know. Sponsor our coochies. Y'all, please sponsor our coochies.
Please. We love bags. We love trip. No.
Right. We love bags, trips, and getting waxes, period. But anyway, one of the first, when I first started getting sugar here, my sugaring lady was like, I was like, oh, you know, it's always awkward. I was like, it feels awkward to have like a bigger body on this table spread. And she's like, girl, it's normal here. Like, if anything, like, you're one of the smaller girls I've been. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? So she was like, no, like, she's like, you're beautiful. Your body's beautiful. It's really affirming. Mm. And so I think that right there just kind of spoke to the fact that it's a completely different environment in LA. And so the more I like lived here and like dated here and got to know people here, like pulling a different type of niggas here.
Period.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not limited. You feel me?
Bitch. Okay. Okay. Y'all, we gotta get into the depths of it.
Yes.
But I went to visit this bitch, okay, in Atlanta. And she over here talking about undesirable, wherever the fuck. Girl, she was in that hoe. We went to, what was the rum brunch?
Rum punch brunch.
Rum punch brunch.
All my ATLians, y'all know rum punch brunch.
Man,
y'all know
rum what? Brunch. Niggas. 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 At a certain point, I was like, bro, all right. Okay.
Oh my God.
Just take her home. Somebody just do their big one. And I was like, but once again, we had had a conversation and I think it was like last week. And I was like, it's funny that you say that because the last time we went out, there were so many people like on you.
Yeah.
And I think like even talking to you, you can see that it's a newer experience for you, which for me, as somebody who's like, you're beautiful as fuck, right? Like I wouldn't understand, I guess, that shift. And I'm also starting to see you see it in yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's the biggest shift that it was for me. I think in the beginning, like everyone's like not even not trying to toot my own horn.
Yeah, girl.
But I have been called beautiful for my entire life. But the difference is I like it would kind of go in one ear and out the other. But now I'm starting to see it. Like now I'm like, oh, I see what people are seeing now. Like it's starting to kind of blend together. And you're not gonna be happy with the person I mentioned, but I did have a friend who I've known for a very long time, and like we recently have kind of parted ways. But he will always be like, I wish you could see yourself the way I saw. Ah!
Sir, I'm not yelling into this mic. Let me back up. Very nice, sir, but we don't give a fuck.
Well, I do give a fuck because I care about him.
I don't. Okay.
But okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to. But we can at least say that there's some truth to that. I think people, like, there are people who see me, and it sounds crazy to, like, phrase it this way because I don't want it to sound like I'm, like, pompous or arrogant, but really it is, like, a truthful recognition of the fact that, like, I am that bitch. And like, I'm starting to believe it now. And I would say it a lot on social media. Like, if you know me and you've been following me, I would be like, you know what I'm saying? I'm that girl, whatever. And like, I would say maybe 65% of myself felt that it was true, but there is still that 35%. Like now we're on like 90. I'm still working on that last 10, like my inner child work, whatever. But I'm like 90, 10% now, you know? So that's growth.
So do you feel like that healing aspect of you, like that 65 from 95, do you feel like that was heightened by the move and seeing yourself through other people in the demographic? Or do you feel like something about your age, your maturity?
I would say it's probably a mixture of the two.
Okay.
And also a third element, which is like my spiritual awakening. I feel like the closer I've gotten to God, me moving here, and then also like me being older and having a different level of self-awareness, I think those like definitely created this version of myself. You know, it's like when you are able to see that you are truly made in God's image and that nothing about your journey is a mistake, you can then recognize like the power that you have. So I think that's what it was that shifted my mindset. It's like, wow, God created me. All these things that I felt like I was belittled for or questioned about, or like, because like on top of it being like a physical thing, me being plus size, like I also have a big personality. And so, but that was often like ostracized and kind of like, oh, you're doing too much.
Yes.
Instead of like kind of rewiring it to realize that's just energy and that's light and that's beauty. And like, that's also attracted to the right people. I just wasn't around the right people in LA, to be honest with you. I just wasn't in the right groups. I wasn't moving in the like right circles. The closest I got to it was when I was doing improv. Because I felt that felt like a sense of me. But outside of that, I didn't have that, you know?
I think that's so telling of like the people that you surround yourself often will, I don't want to say be responsible for making you feel big or small, because it's still our internal work.
Yeah.
But to also do that self-inventory of like, there's people in my life that don't make me feel like who I am is too much. And that can go into a realm of different conversations, but I think seeing you not run from the things, I always tell you, like, you're very, not boisterous, boisterous would not be the word. You're an actress. You're very keenly aware of emotions. What is it called? You know what I'm trying to say. The way people walk, talk, like movements. What am I trying to say?
Ooh, I want to help you, but I can't.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I got this. Don't you worry. Okay. So I always tell, like, for example, accents. Yeah. If you see me dance a certain way, you'll be able to pick over it, imitate it, you know? Yes. Things that are very, like, going into what it is that you love, improv, just all of those things. And I think when I think of your purpose and I think of how your personality aligns with that, it's so obvious. So it's like, to see you be shunned for it is almost like, are you kidding me? Like, do you not see this presence of, like, sun and light and joy? No, seriously. It's the wrong people, the wrong places will make us feel not good enough. Yeah. And I think I want to acknowledge, I think before we jump into the depths of things, similar to when we had our conversation with me about being queer. Mm-hmm. And you just made that distinction that it's an experience that you've never experienced. And I think talking about your body and talking about being plus size, this is an experience that is true to you.
Yeah.
And at any point in this conversation, if you feel like it's switched to something that I don't understand, I always encourage you to fix me correctly.
Yeah.
But I do know we've been best friends for years. Mm-hmm. And I remember our freshman year of college, when you first started on social media, there was this one picture. It ended up going viral.
Yes.
You ended up being severely bullied for it.
Oh my gosh. I remember that picture. If I find it, I'll put it in the
It was cute.
In the video. It was, are you talking about the one with that corset and it was like the glitter? Yes.
Haters are gonna hate.
But I felt so cute in that. So it was really weird that people were like, you look stupid. And I'm like, y'all are just like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, y'all are hating because I look cute. But yeah, you remember that. It was all over Twitter.
Yeah. And I think because you have been such a pillar for the plus size community and doing that advocacy work, you've also been just in this like line of fire for being yourself. And I can only imagine how much of a toll that can take on you for literally existing.
Yeah.
So I just wanted you to kind of talk about how you're unlearning that, because moving is one thing, but also literally deprogramming yourself from people's words and lifelong experiences. Like, I remember calling you and talking to you. You had made a about me TikTok and you had mentioned that you were bullied like in school. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck? So not only did you experience that on social media, you experienced it in real life. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking to hear, but also so encouraging because I see you not there. So I guess my question would be, for those who are still struggling and feeling small and feeling invisible, what was your journey?
I think, like, as crazy as this sounds, it was necessary.
Mm.
Because when you possess something that people feel inclined to bully, there's something there that needs to be nourished and nurtured. And granted, it's not fun. I'm not saying that, like, I'm not here for pro, like, bullying definitely needs to end. I don't think it's, like, necessary in that sense. Yeah. But I think it is a part of recognizing like the power that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's important to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Know your worth.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel it in that moment, even if afterwards you cry and it hurts your feelings, even if that moment you do cry and it hurts your feelings, say something, speak up. I think that's what helped me to build my voice. Mm-hmm. I've always been very expressive and loud, and I speak my mind.
Period.
And even when, like, the thing is, like, I would get bullied and I would, like, cry, but then I would be like, shut up, like, at the same time.
Period.
So, like, I wouldn't give them a, like, I wouldn't sit there and go in the corner and cry. And I think there's a level of mental toughness that is built when you are able to face your bully, a physical bully, because respectfully, there's going to be bullies all through your life. They may not be physical. They might be energetic. They might be spiritual. Yeah. You might be your own bully and your own critic at some point. But this is a moment. Oh, I just got chills. This is a moment that those are moments where you realize you have the power to shift that energy. You have that ability to confront it in your face and say, okay, I see what you said. Okay, now tell me more about it. You have to learn to disarm that. So I would say, like, continue to challenge the bullies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Continue to challenge them in all aspects of your life.
So when you had touched on that part, that gave you chills, because it kind of gave me chills.
Yeah.
In terms of us being our own bullies. So we know a lot of our childhood trauma, a lot of the things that we hear repetitively can unfortunately become our own voices, right? So when you are looking at yourself in the mirror, what is it that is helping you unhear everything that you've ever heard and be in reality? Because you a bomb ass bitch. So,
thank you.
So to be able to see what I see, what others see, but also things, erasing things that were said that were untrue.
I would say recognizing that your voice is louder, like similar to like kind of what I said, your voice is louder than everybody else's. Mm-hmm. You hear your voice first.
Mm-hmm.
So if you continue to keep your voice strong, if you continue to speak to yourself with positivity, with good energy, with good intention, everything else is going to fade into the background. So you have to, I think it's about cultivating a strong sense of a strong relationship with yourself to realize, once again, realize your power, realize how your ability to overpower and overcome anything. You know what I mean? I think a lot of us, our relationships are defined by how other people perceive us. They're defined by like core values that kind of like limited us. And so part of that is unlearning that, and it's an active unlearning. So it takes time. You're going to have moments where you're like on a high and you're like, yeah, I am that bitch. I feel good as fuck. Hey, nobody tell me nothing. Y'all can actually kiss my ass and suck my dick.
You'll
have those moments, but you will also have the moments where you're like, damn, what, where the fuck am I? Like, where am I going? What am I doing about life? Do I really look that cute? Like, this is a, I don't like how this looks on me. This looks weird, whatever.
Yeah.
But you also, but I think it's about remembering to pull from those, that high vibrational moment. Well, almost like I envision it like a, like, say you're stuck in a well, right? You're in a well. This, the well is your depth. Like you're, when you're feeling very low.
Okay.
Your high vibrational is that rope that comes down. You have to pull yourself up. It takes work. You have to work against gravity, because those low vibrational, those low vibrational energy, that low vibrational, let me find another word, because that's kind of those moments when you're feeling inadequate, those moments of hopelessness, of helplessness, they are hard to get out of. Yeah. So you, when you're pulling up from that rope, you're fighting against gravity, pushing you down. Like, you stay in that well, but that rope is your lifeline, and you have to keep pushing. Use that upper arm strength. Use every, all of your might. When you reach the sunlight and you see this beautiful garden, you have the water, you got food, you got people who love you, who are excited to see you.
Yeah.
You just have to actively pull yourself up.
Ooh, I'm still taking that in.
Yeah.
Because I think
I'm taking that in too.
Girl, it is hard to unlearn anything. I think because of the age that we're at, we're 30. 30 in our 30s.
Yeah.
One of us. I'm still you. Okay.
One of us. They figured it out by now, shit.
But no, but with that being said, we have to think that we were just like, we're still out of our youth, like just in that era and age where we really are becoming who we are as adults, not yes. like teenagers coming into womanhood. And, you know, we're always evolving, but I think we are at a more pertinent age where our thoughts are starting to solidify.
Yep.
So it's almost to hear that is very refreshing, because I think it will help a lot of people who haven't gotten to that point of being stable. Because I think when we're young, our kind of like what you said about your sense of self or your self-esteem just coming from the outside.
Yeah.
And I think it's just beautiful that you've acknowledged, yes, that you do feel less othered because you are somewhere else. And these are facts, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So these things aren't imagination. It's not any of that. But there is this part of you, I think, that would have found yourself to be enough anywhere you went. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, does that resonate with you, or do you feel more like that was the stepping stone that got you there?
So you're saying that, like,
so I'm saying,
what do you mean?
Okay. So I mean that, let's say you were still in LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think as a woman, as you're growing in your spirituality, you would have gotten to the same place regardless, or do you feel like the move shifted?
I think the move needed to happen.
Okay.
I think at this point, I now know that I can do whatever I want and I can go anywhere and do anything. Mm-hmm. But I do think, yeah, it was a stepping stone. And now yeah. I realize what you said. What you're saying is that I could do this anywhere. But that mm-hmm. it had to take me getting out of my old environment, getting out mm-hmm. of a place where I didn't feel nourished, where I didn't feel safe, really, to be me. Mm-hmm. And this is not like in my home necessarily, but it's just more so yeah. in the social settings I was in, you know, like I just didn't feel safe to be myself. But now recognizing that, like, recognizing that I have the ability to create a home wherever mm-hmm. I go, because I'm so rooted in who I am. Mm-hmm. So wherever I move, I can plant seeds and I can grow something. I can root myself into that place because I'm so sure of myself. But I think in order for us to be sure of ourselves and be able to like plant ourselves wherever we go, there has to be like a, once again, bringing it back to God. I think there just has to be a connection to God. Like, I think we said it in one of the first episodes, like there has to be a through line, like, we have to be able, like, in order for us to be planted, we have to have, like, our nourishment coming from somewhere, from up above, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. plants don't grow without sunlight, you know? So our sunlight has to kind of be, like, where God is leading us, you yes. know? It has to be that continued spiritual connection, like, staying in prayer and aligning yourself with your soul's purpose. I think that is how you can build a foundation anywhere you go.
It's just so beautiful to hear. Because I think, you guys know we're spiritual girlies. I think somehow we always land here.
Always.
And even in the fact that you moved, it's like, it's definitely a part of God's plan to expose you to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially being alone, like being alone.
Ooh.
Y'all. Being alone?
That's the conversation.
That's what we can get to another episode.
No, but in all seriousness, I do think that has a lot to do with where you are. You've had to do the work. You've had to really sit alone. And we were just talking about how you don't have no dog.
Right.
So no pets. Nothing. Okay.
Nothing. I'm barebacking it.
Simone and mirrors, right? Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And just you. And I've seen you become so content within yourself, and almost that feeling, like you said, like performative confidence versus real confidence,
yes.
you know? Yes. And as someone who knows you well, I know that you've been through seasons of protection, right? So it's like, you have to be like, I'm the baddest bitch ever, because, you know, my voice, like you said, needs to be louder than yours. But I think I've seen you genuinely shift into the point where you embody that as your truth, and it's pulling things towards you. Like, even when we said, like, we went out, there was niggas everywhere. It was almost like it's an aura now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's an aura of true confidence and really bringing in what is deserving of your energy, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And it's so interesting. Like you'd said this earlier, that it's new.
Mm-hmm.
So like, mm-hmm. partially, I kind of like, okay, my mindset mm-hmm. around men is like, y'all pissing me off. Like, leave me alone. Like, I just posted on my story.
Girl, if y'all at Simone Mariposa, if you go on this bitch's story, everything is, I saw this nigga today and he tried to talk to me. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing here with me? She don't like y'all. Y'all better come hard.
Like, come correct. I just don't deal with bullshit. So the mm-hmm. thing is, like, I like male energy. Like, I can't lie. Like, I do like a, you know what I'm saying? I like a little man.
You little hetero.
Treat a lady. You know what I'm saying? I like to feel like kind of like taking care, like, I don't want to say coddle, taken care of and just in my feminine.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm learning that, like, the energy is going to come. And like, it's also like, this is also another part of like just my perception of myself. A lot of what I have posted on social media has like warranted a lot of very sexual energy and kind of like objectifying energy. And so my like automatic defense when I like see guys like, ooh, like I'm trying to get to know you, is like, it just feels like they're clawing and just like, in this weird exploitative way. And like, they're trying to get. And so like, and granted, like I'm an energy person, so I can feel the energy of the type of approach I get. Mm-hmm. And so I am a bit like just hyper vigilant about it, but also recognizing that like, I don't have to say yes to everybody. Mm-hmm. I also don't have to say no to everybody. And then on top of that, like making peace with the fact that like, men like me.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's weird because I'm not used to it. Like I'm telling you, in Los Angeles, I did not get hit on. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I did not get hit on at all. So when I'm here, when I'm at like Fets or like Carnival, baby, I'm like, oh,
I've seen it in live action, yo. It's from left to right, but I think
crazy to me.
Oh gosh. Okay, so the way my thoughts are going right now, the thing that I'm thinking about most is just how much of a mind fuck that has to be, right?
Yeah.
And how it has to feel like this outer body experience and something, like you said, you are having to adjust to. So while it is positive, like you said, it's almost like you felt like preyed upon. I know like in your bio, it says not your fetish, and you've been very adamant and necessarily so about deciphering what's genuinely for you and what's exploitative. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Good job, baby.
Thank you.
And what's exploitative, right? Mm-hmm. So I think now you are in that phase of really having to be open enough.
Yes.
To figure out which one it is. And I'm assuming that can be very scary.
It is scary. And that's such a good point. Being open enough to it. Cause I have been very closed off. Like I have been closed off. It's emotionally. I'll say that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Physically, I'm kind of like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have a good time.
Yeah.
But emotionally, I have been just kind of like, I haven't taken men seriously. Mm-hmm. But because I am like growing and understanding myself and my light and my energy, knowing that at the end of the day, I do want a relationship. Mm-hmm. And part of that means, and finding that means being open to energy.
Yeah.
It is nerve wracking because it's going against what I've like programmed myself to believe and what my past experiences mm-hmm. have led me to believe as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. it's like I'm men only want me for my body, or like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Or they're only, they just find me that my sex appeal exudes. And so that's all mm-hmm. they see, instead of understanding that it's almost like it's the opposite of wolves in sheep's clothing. Mm. It's like the sheep, like there's a whole bunch of wolves, but there might be some sheep back sheeps. There who are like trying to be like, oh, you know what? I actually really do. Yeah. Who are genuine. And so it's a learning curve. I'm learning yeah. it. It's a skill that I'm learning to develop for sure. Ooh.
I feel like God is so, I feel like he's so, he is in joy when we see ourselves the way he sees us.
Yeah.
And I think it almost feels celebratory. Like I can like, it feels chilling because that is who he's created you to be. And like right. you said, seeing yourself the way that everyone has seen you or the way God has seen you is the ultimate definition of your mirror, right?
Right, yeah.
So it's like even our own voice, the thoughts that we have towards ourselves when it comes to negativity, I think you have also been so grounded newly in your purpose
yeah.
that you start to, I guess my assumption, correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
but it would be that being comfortable within yourself includes every aspect of you. And I think that also would call you to be more at home with your body. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. For a long time, even in like my messages on social media, it would be like, and like, I still agree to this to some extent of being like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like every other woman, like don't approach me being like, I like big girls, like yeah. whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I still don't really like that. But yeah. I think it's like understanding that there are part of like my man that I'm manifesting, he's going to find me very physically attractive. Come and on. So I think it's also about accepting the fact that my body is sexy. And not feeling like I don't want to say I felt like I led with it, because I've never been like the type to mm-hmm. show off for men.
Yeah.
But oftentimes that would be like the label that I put on the men that were interested in me, is like they just find me, like they just want to fuck pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I want my dream man to want to do me while also embracing other parts of me. So it's like, it's this weird conundrum of like recognizing, it really is about making peace with my sensuality and my sexuality within myself, because I think that's mm-hmm. where it comes from. I think it was almost like me projecting. It would be like, oh, so that's all you want? All you want is yeah. this or whatever? So I would feel like that is all people wanted from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, I am a full entity. I'm a full entity. I am everything that is encompassed within that, including that. So mm-hmm. making peace with it. Is that making sense?
It makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
It makes absolute sense. Like you said, a person is supposed to want you in your entirety. That includes compatibility in every lane.
Yeah.
So I would think, like you said, even if somebody's like, you're beautiful, or you're, it's like, is there an undertone of what do you want?
Yeah. You know, like, what do you want? Yeah.
There is that. There's definitely that undertone. I'm like, so why are you here? Like, I'd be like, what, you want to fuck? Are you a gentleman to do me?
And they're like, yeah, actually.
And after I take you out on a date, you know what I'm saying? Like, allowing yes. for that, though. I think yeah. sometimes I have rushed to the physical because I felt like that's all what was expected of me.
Mm.
Instead of making room for the fact that, like, I am dateable. Like, I'm not just effable. Like,
ooh, let's sit in that. I'm sorry. Let's sit in that,
please, because that's a lesson.
Yes, because when it comes to dating, you attract how you feel, one, but two, it's also like to be in that empowered space of really getting what you deserve.
Yeah,
is just so beautiful to see, because I think we all can relate to settling. In different ways, like, you know, just settling and feeling like whatever it is that wants you, you have to want it. And that's something, you know, you've been very vocal about as well, which is having selections, having options, not having to say yes because somebody blinks at you, you know? Yeah. And I think I've seen your standards elevate so much because you are highly aware of, what do they say, miss one train, next 15 coming?
I mean, literally, you're not it? Next. You're not it? Next. Like, literally understanding that, like, I have options. We have options. Like, we literally, we don't have to hold on to something just because we don't know when the next one is coming. Mm. And that's low-key a lesson for a lot of things. Not just with love. Like,
it's so related. Like, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No, no, go ahead. You got it.
No, because it's just like, I feel it. I'm just like, damn. Like,
yeah,
we really don't have to settle. And I just admire your voice on your platform and to the people that you speak to, because I know, like, even one of your last posts had just been about being a plus size woman in this body. You don't have to be like, oh, he said, let me take you to fucking Sizzler. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, let's go. It's like, no, bitch, I like sushi.
Exactly. What the fuck are we doing? I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. And like, I can just see, once again, not personally being in that experience, but also just seeing the amount of women responding in a way that's like, it took me a really long time to learn that. Yeah. And just seeing that community of women rise to like really require things of these men. Like, it's been a beautiful thing to see, because love is ultimately also a reflection of ourselves. So who we choose reflects how we feel.
Yep.
So I've been able to see that in you, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I cannot stress this enough, that this is newfound. And I say that because it is a journey.
Yeah.
And I have not always been here. And I think regardless of like how I've been perceived, like, there's still stuff that happens in the background. Like, I say a lot of, like, that sounds crazy. I say a lot of things because I'm telling other people, but sometimes it takes longer for it to click for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think at this point in my life, I not only am I giving that good advice, but I'm also taking it. And so, like, that I think is a turning point of maturity. Of just growth and healing and knowing myself, and once again being very rooted in like my spirituality. It's a journey, and I'm still implementing it. I'm still like realizing it, and I'm still making peace with it. And I've also recognized that I have a level of like conventional attractiveness. I did not know that. And I'm telling y'all, because I would be like, I'm unconventionally attractive, y'all. I'm fat, right? But I'm actually not. And I don't say this from a level of privilege at all. It's more so a realization of just like how I'm perceived now, especially because I know it. There's a difference between like other people knowing it and you don't. And so you kind of operate from this place of like, well, you know what I'm saying? Society don't like me. And granted, being in a larger body, of course, there's still disparities.
Mm-hmm.
But recognizing my level of like attractiveness. Go ahead.
So what she's saying is the face card eats, and she's not trying to shit on y'all. I'm really not. Pretty privileged.
I'm not. Like, I'm really not. Because the thing is, I rock like. And I'm not the type to call anybody unattractive. I just like to use the word not like unconventionally.
Conventional.
Attractive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I triumph for all forms of beauty.
Yes.
So me having a face card does not stop me from like wanting to fight for the like equal treatment and confidence of people who don't look like me.
So absolutely.
Who don't have that conventional attractiveness or whatever. But also like, everybody has the power to become this. Everybody has the power to know themselves so much and like have that energy and that aura and the people coming to them. I mean, how many times have we seen people who would be like, I don't know if that's considered attractive, but they be getting it.
When I tell, yo, I've seen, and like you said, conventional, unconventional, these are not defined or clear, but there is an image we think of oftentimes, not even intentionally. But yeah, I've seen some that don't align, and it is just like, it is who I am. It is how I move. It is how I stand, how I walk. It is what I believe, and you can see it. You can just see it radiating. And I think that's so powerful for you to say everyone can attain that, because it's not physical.
It's not physical.
It's not. It translates to the physical, because from there you start to exude confidence.
Yes.
But it doesn't start off physical. But that glow will have like, oh, everybody.
Everybody, because like when people, it's like moths to a flame, right? Like people love light. They're always reaching for it. Like, oh, it's so bright. It's so beautiful. So people are attracted to that. Mm-hmm. And light is a, like you said, it's a spiritual thing. It's an inner inside outside type of experience. And so I think it is about, I don't want to say, what's the word? Not minimizing, but like breaking down the physical barriers of what society views as beautiful and attractive, breaking them down, stripping them of their meaning, of their power, of their value, and putting the value on who you are. And on top of that, aligning yourself with people who think the same way. Because if you come into a space being unconventionally attractive or having some element that is not considered societally acceptable, if you come into a space of people who believe about societally accepted things with your light, they're going to diminish it, because they're like, you don't fit this standard. You don't look like how I think you should look. You don't, you don't, you know, check these boxes. So I don't want you around. You can't be around people like that. You have to limit your interaction with people who are in those spaces so that your light is nurtured, so that when you do go into those spaces, there's nobody. Once again, your voice, your inner light is brighter than theirs. Your voice is louder than theirs. And it has less to do with like their value of what they, who they are and their value, but more so understanding that your value is greater because that's who God intended for you to be.
Ooh, we started this off with it intended for you, but I think it's just resonating, because becoming who you are and seeing you through God's eyes and seeing yourself, it's such a journey that we all have to go on as individuals. And we just all get to that place where it's like, okay, am I going to believe what this person has said, or do my beliefs align with my faith? And a part of you saying you have faith is to believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and all of the above. So,
and I have that tatted on me.
Yeah.
I have it tatted in Latin right here on my shoulder. I have fearfully and wonderfully made tattooed on my body. Yeah.
And guys, you have to believe, like, it's just clicking to me that it's a part of faith. It's a part of you saying, if you say, I believe in God, then that means that you believe every single part of you was made purposefully and beautifully, right?
Boom.
So, I feel it, because that self-doubt is almost a question of threatening why you're here, who you are, how you show up. It's more than just what you look like and how you present in the world. It literally starts to impact your person. And like you said, it's like it starts to diminish your light. And am I too loud? Am I too much of everything that I was intended and intentionally made with? These are gifts.
Yeah.
So it took me a long time in this conversation to kind of make that click. But I think it's clicking for me that if you say you believe in God, you believe in yourself, and you believe that you're purposeful and you're beautiful, and Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hitting.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Hitting, yeah.
I think just like us, because this is a very good conversation, but to kind of like put a bow on it.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's fine. No, don't apologize. I love it. We could talk for years if we
We can. Sorry, y'all. Okay. Years. Wrap it up.
I love it. I love it here. And that's what our platform is for. So stop apologizing. Your voice is meant to be heard.
Thank you.
Anyway, like a small story. So I don't know if I told you about this. I probably did. There was a Twitter account. There was a Twitter account dedicated to hating me.
What?
I think I told you about it.
Simone, you didn't.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, it was really bad. This person like hates me real bad.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what I'll say is this. For someone to, once again, it's the bully situation, right? Just to reiterate this. For someone to put so much energy into hating you.
Yep.
Means their spirit is moved.
Mm. Ooh, round of applause, baby. Make that ass clap. Good job. Ooh.
That means their spirit is moved. So that if anything, that means keep going.
Going. You're stirring something up within them.
Stirring something up within them. Because I'm telling you, happy hoes ain't hating and hating hoes ain't happy.
Hating hoes ain't happy.
I've never met a happy hoe that was hating on anybody. Exactly, period. Happy hoes be like, oh, I like that. There's no reason. There's no reason to hate.
We love each other. Right there,
so I say that to say, if there's anyone in your life who is constantly belittling you for whatever reason, whether you're too big, too small, whether you're too loud, too quiet, whether you're too boisterous, you don't talk, and whatever it is, there is something about you that is shaking them up. Continue to be that, because at the end of the day, that is going to be a revelation that needs to be made for that person. So if anything, you're actually aiding in their healing journey. So pat yourself on the back.
Yes. No. Oh my God. Okay. I'm gonna wrap it up because
this conversation. I love this here.
You're so blowing my mind. I swear to God.
And honestly, this our shit. We can make it as long as we want to.
Come on. Who gonna stop us?
Right.
But I think ultimately, once again, we always try to leave off with a lesson, a gem that you guys can walk away with. But I think if nothing more, I hope you were able to figure out that God is in control of how you are perceived. And it doesn't matter unless it comes from him, I guess is where I land.
Yeah, no, it's true. What matters most is that you are living aligned with divine will. Amen. Over your life, aligned with your divine purpose.
Amen.
There are going to be people who question that. Mm-hmm. And at times you will question that.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that you are made in God's image.
Mm.
Like you said, Jess, to deny yourself is to deny God's power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any ounce of faith, it is important for you to make peace with who you are meant to be. Don't push anything down. Don't shun it. Don't brush it away. Don't try to conform. Like, no sense, no part of conform. If anything, conforming is going to increase your discomfort.
Yep. Excellent.
So why not sit in who you are meant to be and find comfort in that?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your transparency and for your
you.
Wise words. I love you.
I love you. Thank you. You already know, if I'm going to have this conversation with anyone, it's going to be with you. And I'm glad that we were able to bring it to this platform to be able to inspire others, because that is our goal here at Fly Talks.
With that being said,
oh, and don't forget,
come email us
and email us. You got it. Email us at flytalkspodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions, suggestions, or just want to chat with us.
Come on. Yes, guys. No, in all seriousness. One more thing. I just want to say one more thing. We almost keep going, but we're not done. But I just, before we hop off, I just wanted to say, Simone had said it in our last episode, that we want this to be an interactive experience.
Yes.
I think that we speak on behalf of our own experiences, but also wanting to personally uplift you guys as well, which is why we made the platform. So if there is anything that you do want to discuss, hit us.
We're open and we're ready to talk about it.
Yes, but for now, we are flying away.
Also now you can say it. That's crazy. Wow.
Fly away.
Oh, I'm Simone.
And I'm Jess.
Fly away.
Bye, y'all.